celebrate the wonderful, gracious, limitless love of our God and His Son, Jesus Christ, that was seen in the gift of God sacrificing His one and only Son on the cross so that there could be atonement of sin, forgiveness of sin for all who have turned away from the Lord. And all have turned away from the Lord. But the precious, valuable blood of Jesus means so much to the sinner who confesses their sin, repents and turns to the Lord, and makes a vow in their heart to God to strive to walk with Him faithfully all the days of our lives. And that is what we are here to do this morning. We have seen over the last 6 weeks that there is a reason and there is a way in which we praise the Lord. And the psalmist has shown us many ways in which we do that. We praise God with our mouth. We praise God with our voice. We praise God with our lips. We praise God on bended knee. We praise God with shouts. We praise God with dancing. We praise God by lifting Him up with our inmost being. Oh, my soul, rejoice and praise in the Lord. Jesus teaches us in Matthew 22, verse 37, that God's people are to love Him with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind, with all their body, and with all their strength. We don't love God with one part of our being. We are to love God with every part of our being, and that is a life that is sold out to the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has blessed the nation of Israel by choosing them to be His peculiar people. And God has chosen you to be His elect through your faith in Jesus Christ whenever you received and believed in His name. Amen? Oh, that changes your life. And if you're here today and you've not accepted Christ, if you've not received Christ, and God is moving through His Spirit in your heart, I pray that you will surrender your life and confess His name and turn and live your life for Him with your entire being. As we open up in our text for today, which comes from Psalm 103, we see again what we have seen over the last few weeks. Praise the Lord, or another word, hallelujah. But praise the Lord, my soul. It's personal. All my inmost being, to the very recesses, may my inmost spirit praise His holy name. God is holy. God is set apart. There is none like God. And when God's people approach Him, we need to remember, like Moses didn't understand, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. We need to have that attitude in our worship, that God is set apart and God is holy and there is no one like Him. And that in itself is a reason for a hallelujah. Verse 1 opens up to say to ourselves, I think, the challenge, what is your hallelujah for today? What is your praise the Lord moment for today? We need to change our minds and we need to think on these things, to focus on them, because it makes us more aware of what God is doing in our lives. As you know, I share often that Danielle and I, we babysit our 3 grandsons, 3, 5, and 7, and we absolutely love it. And I joke a lot, but we've had them since Friday morning. And, you know, they just wear you out. You just love them to death. They wear you out. Trying to come to church this morning, getting my shoes tied. When you're 59, it's not so easy to bend over and tie your shoes anymore. And I get them tied, and the 3-year-old's untying them, pulling them in knots. And I was like, please just leave my shoes alone. I've got to go to church. And the other one's opening up, you know, the gummy bears. And I said, yeah, put them in the bowl. Don't rub them on the couch. You know, please don't. Like, my hallelujah moment It's so funny. Before I tell you my hallelujah moment, my wife, whenever we have the grandchildren, starts talking in King James language. I'm serious. This morning she said, after church, don't tarry. Because she's like, I need you home for relief. We've got to tag you in, and I'm going to tag out for just a second. So my hallelujah moment is that the Lord has given us three beautiful, loving grandchildren, that we love them, and we would do anything for them, and we love spending time with them. But then tonight at 9 o'clock when we hand them off to their parents, it's going to be a hallelujah, some me time. I just want to think about me. Calgon, take me away. Most of you may not remember that commercial, but if you're of any age, you remember Calgon, take me away. I need some me time. Well, what is your hallelujah moment today? What are you praising the Lord for today? Because if you're not praising the Lord, then something isn't happening in your life that should. When we get up, praise the Lord, He woke me up from a good night's sleep. When we go to bed, we praise the Lord for getting us through the day. We are people of praise. I tell you, over the last 6 weeks, to see people come in with their hands raised and sort of joking, dancing in as if they're dancing before the Lord, and hearing hallelujahs and hearing amens and hearing these expressions and seeing the smiles and seeing the hugs and seeing the handshakes and seeing the joy in your face as God's Christians is so powerful in others' lives. And I just sit back and I watch and I think, oh my goodness, Lord, you're so good and kind. To see Joseph Waltham stand up here for the second time and give a communion meditation speech from his very heart. If you would have known Joe years ago, just maybe four, you wouldn't have known that he would have done this, because he wouldn't have. But God has moved in his life. And Miss Vicky, to get up and stand and give her testimony of a hallelujah. You've got to know Miss Vicky. She just would not get up. She was just too shy. Miss Vicky, you keep hallelujahing like that, I'm going to have to let you come up here and I'm going to sit down. But we have such good reasons to raise a hallelujah, to say praise you, Lord, to say thank you. But we're going to look at a story this morning about a man in the Bible. He was a king. He was one of a total of 43 kings. And out of all those kings, there were basically six out of 43 that the text in the Bible says that king did what was right in the sight of God. That's not very many. But this was a great king in so many regards. But let me look at verse 2 with you to get you to that point. Praise the Lord, my soul, it says it again, and forget not all his benefits. Now, it is so interesting how God works. I love birds, you know that, and I share a lot of my Bible studies about watch the birds, remember the birds, because God speaks to us through the birds. You look at a bird and you remember what Jesus says, God takes care of the birds and you're much more valuable than the birds. So watch the birds and remember, God cares for them, but He cares for you more. So my wife, she feeds the birds and I help. She'll take pine cones and roll them in peanut butter and then roll them in seed and then hang them in the bush, this big snowball bush, right outside of our window. And them birds, you think that they were at the smorgasbord of all smorgasbords of life. Our tree is full of every kind of male and female cardinal, woodpecker, snowbird, tufted titmouse. I mean, there's turtle doves. There's even wrens. It's crazy. But every morning and afternoon, I'll look out, and that 3 days, that bird feed's almost all gone, if not gone. And I'll go back out there in the freezing cold, right? Wind blowing, snow that deep, barefooted, and fill up that bird feeder. Done it all winter to help Dee. And as I was looking out at these birds the other day, something hit me. After all these cold months of filling up that bird feeder with good bird seed, not one bird has ever flown around to my front door and tapped on the window to say, "Patrick, thank you." Not once. I just keep filling it up. They just keep eating it. They never come to say thank you. Now, I say that because we don't expect a bird or an animal to say thank you for something we do for them. But when it comes to God's people and the benefits of God in His people's life, forgetfulness is not something we want in our lives. We want to not forget all the benefits of God in our life. And I mean, we need to recite every one of them. Because I joke about the birds, but thinking like, what would it be like to be God and constantly in my creation, taking care of this person or that person, doing this or doing that, showing this love, giving that compassion, bringing this healing, forgiving this kind of thing, and to never have that individual say, "Praise the Lord." How many times do God's people that are good people, who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, receive His many benefits without acknowledging He is the source and raising a hallelujah? I would assume that we are all guilty. I know I am. But I want to be more sensitive to all the benefits of God in my life. And I want my Father to know that I am there knocking on the door of heaven to say, "Here I am, thank you." But that's not always the case. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 24 through 26, we learn something very interesting about this good king who did what was right in God's eyes most of the time. You can go back and you can read Isaiah chapter 38, and it will give you background on this same story. You can go to 2 Kings chapter 20, read it, and it gives you the same story, little different nuances. But it is here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 that we get at the heart of my point. Hezekiah had a father who was king, and his name was Ahaz. And Hezekiah's father was a horrible and wicked and brutal king. He did not honor the Lord. He did not love the Lord. He did not serve the Lord. And it was the Lord who put him in the position of his kingship over Judah. So that was the experience that King Hezekiah had growing up with. That was his father, an evil king who did evil things. But Hezekiah wasn't like that. When Hezekiah assumed the throne, he commissioned through his ordering the tearing down of all the high places of worship to foreign and false gods. And he called the people to repentance and recommitment to the one and only God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what made Hezekiah a good king that did what was right. But like you and I, you can do a lot of right things in God's sight. And you can be a good person only because of the goodness of God in you. You hear what I'm saying? You can be a good person, not by the definition of the world, but a good person because of the goodness of God that's in you. That's what makes you good. Remember whenever Jesus was asked, Lord, you know, you're such a good teacher. Why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. Well, Hezekiah, understanding it in the right way and because of his relationship with God and the way that he served the Lord, was a good king that did what was right. So in this story, Hezekiah is a fairly young king in the prime of his life. And he hears that his father had made an allegiance with the Assyrian kingdom, which was an idolatrous kingdom. But now that dad's dead and Hezekiah's there and he set the nation free from all these idols of other nations, the Assyrians are coming to attack the kingdom of Judah, and they begin to do that with great devastation, and they're coming towards Jerusalem to lay a siege. They're going to surround that city and they're going to conquer Jerusalem. And in this, you find that Hezekiah was sick. And in the story, you learn that he was, like, deathly sick. He had a boil. And Isaiah the prophet comes from God and says, Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. And Hezekiah does what most people would do. Oh, Lord, please don't do this to me. Remember all the good things I've done for you. Remember that I did this and I did that and how I've loved you and how I served you. Oh, please, Lord. He begins to pray. And God relents and gives Hezekiah 15 more years of life. But he does a miraculous sign, God does, to prove that he is going to give more life to Hezekiah. Outside of the royal court, there are these stone steps. It's called Ahaz's, or his father's, steps. And God says, do you want me to cause the shadow on the steps to go forward 10 steps or back 10 steps? And Hezekiah says to Isaiah, well, it's easy for them to go forward. Let them go back. And Isaiah prays. And there is a miraculous work by God. And the shadow on the steps recedes 10 steps. And Hezekiah is told by Isaiah, right after Isaiah told him, you're going to die. Hezekiah prays. Isaiah is leaving, comes back and says, here's the word of the Lord. He's heard your prayer. And he's going to give you 15 more years. Hallelujah. You know, we may not understand sometimes the way we pray and what's going on in our lives and when we're sick, whether it's a heart problem or whether it's cancer or whatever we're battling for life. But we pray, God, would you give us a little more time? Would you help me to raise my children? Would you let me, Lord? And sometimes it seems like that's exactly what God does. And other times, it's not. And we're not God, and God's ways aren't our ways. But how many times has God spared us certain things in our lives simply because we prayed and asked for help? Well, Hezekiah was answered. And he gets 15 more years. And that is a hallelujah for Hezekiah. Or should I say, it should have been, but it wasn't. Because not only is Hezekiah sick and hearing that he's going to die, he's got the problem of defending the kingdom of Judah against Sennacherib and the Assyrian kingdom. Sennacherib is breathing out hateful things. He is writing letters, disparaging the God of Israel. He is writing and shouting at the people that is standing inside the city wall of Jerusalem. What makes you think your God is going to save you? Your king can't save you. Your God can't save you. He's trying to shake their faith in their God. And so God spares the life of Hezekiah. And God sends a destroying angel into the camp of the Assyrians. And in one night, 186,000 of the most valiant fighting men that Assyria has are dead and lifeless. And Sennacherib wakes up to that, and he retreats back to Nineveh. And when he enters his palace in a short time, he's got some ungrateful kids that take his life. Judah and Jerusalem are spared by the gift and mercy of God. And that in itself should have been a hallelujah for Hezekiah, amen? But it wasn't. No hallelujah for a spared life. No hallelujah for a saved kingdom. It seems that in the text what you gather is simply somehow, some way, Hezekiah got off track like we all do, and he believed in himself. That what was happening really was a result of who he was. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. He prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign, the sign of the shadow receding on the steps of Ahaz. But Hezekiah's heart was proud. And he did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and on Jerusalem. You see, my brothers and sisters, those of us who really love the Lord, it's so easy for the best of us to forget all the benefits of the gracious hand of God. I had a friend where I ministered down in Noonan, Georgia. I showed it to my Faith Keepers group. They'll remember it, but his daughter is 18 and she went out for her first drive and she got T-boned. I mean, it totally tore up her car, just slammed into the driver's door and it looked really bad, and the young men were in a truck that hit her, and they sped off and ended up crashing in a ditch and were caught. And it said on his post as he wrote, 2021 is not starting out to be a good year. I thought, not in a judgmental way, brother, do you realize what you're saying? Do you realize what you are promoting to the world? Your daughter is okay. A car's banged up, but she's okay. And you're saying 2021 is not starting out to be a good year. I would say, from my view, my line of sight, that 2021 is starting out to be a great year for you because she is alive and well and God protected her through that accident. Oh, our attitude and the way that we see things is so silly sometimes. We always take the glass half full. Oh, it's starting out so bad. What's going to happen? Oh, woe is me. Instead of saying, Praise God and hallelujah, my daughter, my son, my grandchild, my spouse, my friend, whatever is okay. We got to see things differently. Hezekiah, a good king that did what was right, got a little full of himself, and we're reminded that his heart was proud and was lifted up. And we know what the scripture says. God humbles the proud, but lifts up and exalts the humble. Listen, you can't go wrong by being fully humble and surrendered to the Lord your God. It's like, Lord, I'm going to surrender and be humble. I do not need to be humbled. Well, Hezekiah, as good as he was, he forgot the benefits of the Lord. And this morning I want to say to you, please don't do that. Please see things the way that God would have you see them, not the way the world has taught you to see them. He was proud. This text reminded me, as I looked at it, of the story in the New Testament where Jesus heals 10 lepers. And they're so excited. You know, think about it. Leprosy, where fingers and ears and, you know, your nose and toes, stuff falls off. And you can't be around anybody. You got to sort of be excommunicated. He healed them from that horrible disease. And they ran off, I'm sure, happy. But then one came to his senses with the right attitude, and he went back and said, thank you, Lord. And you know what Jesus said? We're not all 10 healed. Where are the other 9? There is an expectation from our God Yahweh. There is an expectation from our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are to respond to the kindness of God in our lives. And when we don't, God notices it. And often we don't because we're just neglectful. We receive the gift and we go with it. But sometimes we're just arrogant and proud, and we receive it and go off in the world like we're all that. It's my smarts and it's my intellect and it's my skills that allows all this to happen. There isn't anything in your life that you're good at that God hasn't gifted you with, or me. And that's especially true of your life, because he gives you every breath. And he can take that breath at any moment. So what is your hallelujah to the Lord today? What is your praise? What things have you forgot to slow down and stop and get on your knees and thank God for? Don't be like the bird who eats and eats and eats and stomach grows larger and larger and larger, and we just continue to go on without any thanks to God. That's what Hezekiah did. That's what we all do. And it's not what God wants from any of us. And here's the answer. If you've done that, or if you're doing that, then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah. What are some of the benefits that we all share in together if we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, here's one of the first. Who forgives us all our sins? What a great benefit that is. That's the big one, right? Sin is separation from God. Sin is what God sent His Son into this world to die for. And it is why we say the cross and the blood of Christ is the only thing that has power in this world to bring forgiveness for our sin. He forgives all of our sin. And we all have sinned. And some of us might think we've sinned bigger than others, and that may be true in some things, but we are all sinners. And even after we're redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, and we are forgiven, we are to be sensitive to our life and the way that we walk so that we strive, even when we fail, to walk in faithfulness. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 7? Paul said, "All the things that I don't want to do, I just keep on doing those things. And the things that I want to do, I just seem to never get around to them as much as I want to." But then Paul remembers the cross in chapter 8 and says, "Therefore," in verse 1, "there is now no condemnation in Christ." Oh, thank you, Lord, for your forgiving blood in my life when I do right things. But thank you most of all for your precious blood in my life to cleanse me when I do so many sinful things. Did you hear me? Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was spilt through the agony, suffering, and pain of our Savior Jesus Christ for me when I do things that are still sinful in your sight. Praise the Lord. He forgives us all of our sins in Jesus Christ. Number two. And heals all your diseases. Now, this is an expression. This isn't to say, okay, whatever it is you've got going in your life, He's going to heal you of every one of those things. But it's an expression to say that God works throughout the world and His creation, and He brings healing in various ways to people, both mentally, emotionally, physically, yes, and spiritually for sure. But God heals all things. And we are the benefactors of the healings of God in our lives. We have been healed from sin. Many have been healed from physical infirmities. He is the great healer, the great physician, and we give Him praise for these healings. Who redeems your life from the pit? Well, He redeemed Hezekiah's life from the pit, right? He was on the doorstep of death. Looking at it face to face. He redeemed Jonah's life from the pit. He definitely redeemed Joseph's life from the pit. Our Lord takes us from a place where it seems certain death, and He lifts us out, and He redeems us in Jesus Christ. And crowns you with love and compassion. I don't know if you feel the love of God, if you're a believer. I think you probably do. But the expression here is that crown on top of a head to signify something special, almost like royalty. God takes a crown and He crowns you with His love. And He crowns you with compassion because He knows that you are made of dust. He created you. He knows that you're weak. But you're the apple of His eye too. And He loves you. He loves you so much. And that is the message of the cross. You may not love God. You may be hostile to God. But whether you love Him or not, whether you're hostile to Him or not, God loves you. Because God is a God of limitless, unfailing, unconditional love. and who satisfies your desires with good things. After giving the list of some of the great benefits, he's sort of like, let me just say it this way so I get a lot of other things. You've got desires in your life. There's things you want to accomplish. There's things you want to see. There's places you want to go. Things you want to do. Right? God knows that about you. And God gives you those things. And it brings satisfaction to your life. If you're in Christ and you really understand the benefits that the psalmist talks about and how they relate to us in the new covenant, your soul is satisfied. You're at peace. You're the cup that is running over. You are the spring that is bubbling, full and filled. But it's that "so that" in the verse. Why does our Heavenly Father give all of these benefits to His children? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah says this verse the best way in Isaiah chapter 40. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You ever been in a time of your life or a situation where you thought, I can't go on? I'm just drained. This is too hard. This is too hurtful. I just want to give up. I got nothing left to fight on with. Isaiah says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and that is true. I take my grandsons out and put their snow pants on and let them run for about an hour in the cold. When they come in, they're going to sleep good that night. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, right? But those who hope in the Lord, He will renew their strength. You've been there, and you've seen the result of hoping in the Lord and the renewal of your spirit by His power. They will soar on wings like eagles. Isn't that a beautiful picture of a winged eagle soaring through the sky, just gliding up there so peacefully and easily? That is the way God works in our life. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. At least one of the reasons of all the benefits of God in your life, at least one of the reasons is so that when your life is hard and you're struggling and you find it difficult to go on, the Lord you hope in comes beside you and through His Spirit gives you strength. And Father God in heaven, for this beautiful and precious promise, your church gives you a hallelujah.